Hi, I'm Dr. Roger Steiner, Chair of Ophthalmology at the University of California, Irvine, and Director of the Gavin Herbert Eye Institute there. I'm here in Amsterdam. It's Friday, and I've just come back from a presbyopia all-day conference that explored virtually every aspect of presbyopia correction. And I was involved in a debate-style presentation where Dr. Robert Ang from the Philippines argued in favor of a LASIK approach to presbyopia, whereas I was given the assignment of arguing in favor of corneal inlays for the correction of presbyopia. Dr. Ang's presentation largely centered on the suprachoroidal technique, but he did point out that there were close to 10 variations of all using LASIK to create a multifocal cornea with a plus central power. Of course, LASIK is well known, so that's a plus for it. It does involve tissue removal, but most of the issue that the audience had and the questions that they asked were related to whether or not there were issues with reversing or at least reducing the amount of correction if the patient was unhappy. Dr. Ang had only had to do that once, and he said he'd done that successfully, but the audience clearly, based on the questions, felt that there were some question in their minds as to how reversible it was and what technology would be used to drive the reversal of that plus power in the center, that both topography and wavefront may not be up to the task of doing that. In my case, where I was arguing in favor of intracorneal inlays, of course, there is no tissue removal, so there's less potential for weakening the cornea, although there is a tunnel or a flap made to place the devices. They are more reversible. Clearly, you're not going to undo the change made by making the pocket or the flap, but you can, by and large, get back to the initial point refractively and optically that the patient started in the absence of some catastrophic problem. So the reported cases where the implants have been removed, by and large, have had a very good outcome in terms of returning back to their preoperative initial level. The three available implants all under investigation in the United States still. The oldest and longest investigation has been for the AcuFocus camera, which is the 1.6 millimeter central aperture, basically pinhole ring that is implanted. And that works as expected on a pinhole principle. Raindrop from Revision Optics, and I am a consultant to Revision since I am the medical monitor for their FDA study, is a plus power, high water content, 78% water content, hydrogel 2 millimeters in diameter that is inserted in the current study under a flap, and in the future will probably be used in a tunnel. And what it does is it causes a plus power change in the anterior curve of the cornea, but with epithelial remodeling around it, it turns into what has been termed a profocal contour, so that patients get really outstanding near vision. The average near vision is between J1 and J1 plus, really quite striking. Excellent intermediate, and amazingly, not much loss of distance vision. The average is 20/32 in the implanted eye. So in the non-implanted eye, of course, you have distance, so between the two, the patients get the best of both. We just completed a statistical analysis of patient satisfaction, and it showed that the big drivers of patient satisfaction with inlays, or at least with the raindrop, is the absence of glare and halo, which is very minimal with this implant. It's also not highly sensitive to decentration, and you can get decentration up to 0.75 millimeter relative to the pupil and not have any optical side effects or complaints. The third type of implant is generally known as the presbyopia inlay. It's put at a deeper level, and it's a higher index of refraction material shaped as an annulus, so that the plus power is not in the center, the distance is in the center, and then there's a plus power ring. There's a small hole in the center to improve nutrient passage through the presbyopia lens. And that is under early investigation. I am not aware of any data from the United States on that, but the literature does show some early good reports from Europe with that device. Of note, all three of them show excellent long-term tolerance, so there's been no major issue with that, and overall patient satisfaction seems quite high with all of the implants. So that's just one aspect of presbyopia correction. Lens extraction, various IOL implants are other options, and those were explored, as I said, in detail at the meeting. This is Roger Steinert on behalf of Medscape, reporting from Amsterdam.